First of all, there's the great issue, the great question of man in relation to himself. All religions are concerned with this. Man in relation to himself. Then secondly, man in relation to other men, or even, in the case of some religions like Buddhism, to other living beings. And thirdly, man in relation to ultimate reality. They're all concerned with these three. Man in relation to himself, man in relation to other men, man in relation to ultimate reality. All religions, whatever their other differences, deal with, revolve around these three main, great, basic issues. We can illustrate this from the various religions. Take, for instance, first of all, since the religion of best known to us in this country, first of all, take Christianity. In Christianity, or according to Christian teaching, man is in relation to himself when he knows, first of all, that he is a creature, that he was created by God, when he knows that he was created good, but that he sinned, and on account of that, he is no longer good, but even in a sense, completely evil. Christianity, of course, further teaches that all men, inasmuch as they are children of the same Father, or created by the same God, are brothers, and that, therefore, the appropriate relation between them or among them is one of charity or mutual love. In Christianity, of course, the ultimate reality is God, the Supreme Being, the Creator himself. And he is considered to be known not directly, but indirectly, that is, through Christ, who is regarded by the Orthodox as the Son of God. Christianity, of course, further teaches that Christ died on the cross for all men, and that further, if one believes this, one's sins will be wiped out, and that one will attain salvation. So one sees that the pattern, the basic pattern, of man in relation to himself, man in relation to other men, man in relation to ultimate reality is quite clear in the case of Christianity. And it's more or less the same, one might say, with regard to Buddhism. Buddhism says that man is a conditioned being. He's conditioned because he's subjected to rebirth, that he undergoes this process again and again and again of suffering on account of birth, old age, disease, and death. And he says that rebirth, either into this world, the human world, or into any other world, higher or lower than this, is due to man's ignorance of the spiritual truth and due to his cravings and selfish desires based upon this ignorance and growing out of it. At the same time, Buddhism says that though man is a conditioned being, there is in him something, some element, which is unconditioned, which has some kinship, some affinity, as it were, with ultimate reality. And that because of this unconditioned element, in the midst of his conditioned being, man is capable of attaining enlightenment, capable of realizing the truth. Buddhism further inculcates compassion for all beings, not just for other human beings, but for all beings whatsoever without exception, whether human or animal, even for insects. Because all beings are subject to the same suffering that we are subject to. All are equally sensitive. You stick a pin in an animal, it feels just as a human being would feel if you stuck a pin into it. So inasmuch as we all are subject to this same law, this same universal rule of suffering, we're all sentient beings, we should have compassion one upon another. We should also, according to Buddhism, have respect for other beings, inasmuch as all, like ourselves, though conditioned this way or that way, have in them some element, some aspect which is unconditioned, which is capable of enlightenment. So we should respect all, whatever they may appear to be like now, however bad they may be, however wicked they may appear to be, however misguided, you should respect all, because fundamentally that same capacity, that same potentiality for enlightenment is there. Now in Buddhism, of course, ultimate reality is not thought of as a personal God, a supreme being. Buddhism says you can't think of ultimate reality at all. It's beyond thought, it's beyond speech. We might say, conventionally, that it constitutes the objective, as it were, in inverted commas, content of enlightenment. Or it's what we perceive, what we see, what we experience, what we realize, when all mental conditions, from the highest to the lowest, have been removed or have been transcended. So we see that Buddhism also, though in a rather different way, conforms to this basic pattern just as Christianity did, of dealing with or revolving around these three great issues of the relation of man to himself, man to other men, or in the case of Buddhism, to other beings, other living beings, and to ultimate reality. So that if we want to generalize, not only from these two religions, but from all religions, into which we haven't got time to enter in detail now, we may say that religion consists in the achievement of a state of complete psychological and spiritual wholeness, and that in that wholeness it consists in relating to others, to other beings, and also to reality. Or if we want to put it even more briefly, even more simply, we can say that religion consists in total concern, not just a partial concern, a concern of this aspect or that aspect of ourselves, but in a total concern with what is of ultimate value. We can, in the last resort, define religion in that way. Total concern with what is of ultimate value. That is religion. That is the spiritual life.